5 in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome back to Fritz and Friends, 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with Scott Eckersley. Joining me now on the phone, Dr. Amit Masih, who is a headache expert with Sparrow's Pain Management Center. Good evening, Amit. How are you?
I'm doing good, Cheryl. How are you doing this evening?
Very good. You know, it comes up at holiday time, and I had a pretty good headache going by the end of the day Saturday just because of everything going on and all the excitement. But it led me to think about this, what is termed the spectrum of headaches. Am I using that term correctly?
Sure. You absolutely are right. There's an entity called spectrum of headache. The theory behind that is that all headaches come from a continuous spectrum. What I mean by that is it just depends on how much your sensory nerve fibers are being activated. For example, your headaches initially, before your headache even starts, a day or two before, patients might develop depression or become agitated. Then after that, just before the headache, they might get flashes of light. Then they might develop a low-intensity headache. This will overall progress into a severe intensity pain that they can have sensitivity to bright light, loud noises, even nausea and vomiting. Finally, afterwards, the headaches can just, the severe headache will resolve at least, and then they might just have a quote-unquote lingering headache for a day or even 48 hours. It just depends on the patient.
So this is what we're describing as a migraine headache that follows this path.
So this is actually, it's called a prodrome, then the actual headache, and a postdrome. The prodrome can be a variable thing. It can be a change in your mood, whether it be agitation, depression. It can also have aura with it, where the sense of patients have flashes of light, numbness, tingling in the face, variable different things. Then the headache hits, then afterwards they might just not have any more headaches, or some patients they might just have headaches, a lower intensity headache afterwards.
Now, I've heard the phrase, and you and I had just a moment to talk this afternoon, because you're a busy man, but I've heard the phrase, like, first worse. What does that mean to a neurologist who's a headache specialist?
Sure. So I was obviously initially trained in neurology, and whenever you think of the first worst headache of the life, we always think of a neurological emergency. It's rarely do headaches present this way, but in some patients it does. But we always have to think the evil things or the bad things first, and then work our appropriate diagnosis afterwards. So if a patient has, like, the worst headache of their life, we absolutely ask for them to be going or to be evaluated by an ER physician immediately. What we worry about is sometimes a bleed around the brain called a subarachnoid hemorrhage. Everybody knows of Bret Michaels. He's that rock star, and also he's a new reality TV star who did Apprentice. I think he has his own show on VH1. My wife loves that show.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sad that I know that show as well.
But he had a subarachnoid hemorrhage recently, and he had a history of high blood pressure, and he was a smoker. Those are obvious things that you have to worry about when somebody has the worst headache of their life. But other things you also worry about is possible aneurysms that cause that. So it would be very important to be seen by a physician immediately after they have that.
When is it a migraine rather than a bad headache? I mean, are they two different things, or are we talking about the same thing?
This goes back into the initial question you had, Cheryl.
Okay.
It goes back to the spectrum of headaches. The headaches might be a tension-type headache pain that might escalate to a migraine. But the actual definition of migraine means that the patient has to have a severe quality in their headache pain. It needs to be disabling. So for some patients, they aren't able to function very well at work. Other people, they can't function at all, and they have to call it a day and go home.
Yeah, that was my next question to you, is how does this affect people's life? I've been fortunate not to suffer from migraines, but I certainly know folks who do, and it affects their life in big ways.
Absolutely. The thing is, when patients have headaches, you have to worry about how often and how frequent they're having it. With the severe headaches, sometimes people worry about not worrying about their lifestyle or their quality of life, they don't have fun with their families or friends any longer, they actually start worrying about their next headache. I trained at University of Michigan and did my headache fellowship there. And my program director, Dr. Wade Cooper, he mentioned the term cephalgia phobia. It's a fancy term just for Latin, means fear of your next headache. And that's what you find commonly in patients who have headaches frequently.
So that's so debilitating, they start worrying about how the next one, when it will come and how it will affect them.
Correct.
Wow. What about using rescue medication, which would be, I assume, at onset of the headache versus something daily for a preventative?
You're absolutely right with that, Cheryl. Rescue is a medication that we use whenever somebody has a headache and we try to get rid of the headache right away. The daily preventative headache medicines are, the goal of these are, should be to hopefully prevent future headache attacks. And if they do occur, hopefully they last longer and they're easier to treat. So some of the initial medications we try to do, let me take a step back. The first step is figure out how many days per month the patient has headaches. If it's 4 or less days per month, then we just try to use rescue medications.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more than 4 days, then we do daily preventatives. With the rescue medications, we initially try to do what most patients have already tried before they get to us. They'll try over-the-counter remedies such as Advil, Excedrin, Tylenol, Aleve, to name a few.
Okay. What are there? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Are there new medicines and procedures? And I assume we use the word spectrum. There's a broad spectrum of medicines to try to treat these headaches as well.
Absolutely. There's a huge spectrum of medications that we use. Other preventative medications that we can use can be anti-seizure and antidepressant medications. Patients are concerned that I'm concerned that they have seizure or depression, which is not what I'm doing. I'm just trying to treat them just for the headaches, which these medications have been proven clinically to help headaches. There are newer therapies for headache prevention, like you were saying too. There's for daily preventatives, there's a medication called Namenda. It's actually, believe it or not, a dementia medication. UCLA is a big headache center, and they did research for Namenda, and it actually has found that it can be helpful for preventing chronic migraines. Some other rescue medications that are new and out there are Trexamet. That's a combination of Aleve and Imitrex. And finally, there's a new medication called Tolcatchipent. It's probably going to be released in the next 2 years. Still going under research or doing studies on patients right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something new and upcoming in the future.
How much does diet and sleep play in dealing with migraines?
So it depends. For me, on the average person who has episodic rare headaches, the diet could be a big role in their headache triggers. So what we try to figure out is, did they do anything different that day? Did they try anything new, like aged cheese, processed meats? Those are notorious for causing or triggering migraine attacks. Sometimes sleep can also do it too. Some patients, if they sleep too much or if they sleep too little, can be the cause of at least a low intensity headache that can quickly escalate to the migraine headache.
Can most people find relief, Dr. Massey, for migraines?
Yes. The majority of the population has no difficulties at all with finding treatment for headaches, and hopefully rescue medication is the key. If it isn't, of course, we have other therapies. We can do natural things such as vitamins, but then we also have, like what we discussed earlier, anti-seizure medications and antidepressants that can be used for the sole purpose of treating headaches.
Now, we have about a minute or so left. I guess my one of my final questions for you is, how do you know if you're suffering from what you believe are migraines and they're affecting your life? How do you know if you go to your family doctor, practitioner, or if you need to see a neurologist?
So the key is, are the headaches changing at all? That's what we should look at. Are they becoming more frequent? Are they more severe? Are they not responding to the previous therapies in the past? If that's the case, you should at least go to your primary care physician. Now, if the patient's starting to have new symptoms, whether it be neurological symptoms such as numbness and tingling on one side of the face, loss of vision, flashes of light, things like that that they're a little bit more concerned about, absolutely send the patient to a neurologist or even a headache expert, and we can easily handle the patients.
Very good. Well, I think a couple of things that I'm thrilled to hear, and I'm sure people who suffer from migraines are, is that, most people can definitely get some relief from migraines if they're following a protocol.
Absolutely. The protocol is the key, getting it set beforehand and before the patient has a severe headache escalation will be the most helpful.
Very good. Well, Dr. Amit Masi, who is a headache expert at Sparrow's Pain Management Center, I certainly appreciate your time this evening and helping us sort through this problem and showing people that they can get better.
Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends right after this. Coming up, Brad Curtis, who is also a familiar broadcasting voice in the Lansing area, now with NBC Sports, is going to tell us about the canceled Sunday night football game and what's going on in Philadelphia. We'll be right back after this.